All right, it's Joey Scimitar. This is GloucesterCast 272. This is our third or fourth podcast in a week, which is very unlikely, but I'm...
busy week, Joe.
I'm off. We're making this happen. We are here to talk about a very important, very, very interesting project. In War and After, The Art of Combat Veterans. You guys want to go around and introduce yourselves?
Yeah, sure. Good morning. Hi, I'm Mike DeLacio. I'm actually a board member over at Rocky Neck Art Colony, so we're producing this exhibition, and I'm here with some colleagues. We'll talk more about In War and After, and what we're doing, and how it's tying into the community and to the veterans.
Good morning, Joe. I'm Adam Kukuru. I'm the director of KPN Veteran Services. I am helping Mike and Ken in this project from a support role, from a community perspective, to help bring in support for this great project.
Good morning, Joe. I'm Ken Ruby. I am a lecturer at the School of the Museum of Fine Art in Boston, which is now part of Tufts University. I am a retired military who served in Vietnam as an advisor to Ranger Battalions and Infantry Battalions, and served on the DMZ in Korea. I had 21 years of service. Decided that I would go to art school when I retired. Probably not a fiscally sound decision, but I've had a lot of fun doing it. And I am the curator of this exhibition.
Very important exhibition. Who wants to speak to the mission of it?
Yeah, I can give that a shot. So In War and After is, you know, it's being run out of the Rocky Neck Art Colony, so it's an art exhibition. We have basically the artists who are participating are combat veterans. They're all combat veterans. They've all seen battle in some theater or war. They may be part of the Department of Defense's combat artist program, which a lot of people don't know about, but often artists who go into battle are actually designated officially as combat artists. So they get their weapon, but they also bring their sketch pad or their paintbrushes with them, and they're actually capturing the life and trying to capture, you know, what it's like to be in combat. All the art that they create, if they're designated as a combat artist, is actually owned by the U.S. Department of Defense. So maybe their art is being archived in the Marine Museum or in some other
can I interrupt
official
you for
museum.
One second?
Yeah,
Mike, are you familiar? Like, if so,
I'm
sorry, Mike. Ken Ruby, are you familiar where if someone wanted to, like, so it's. These artists, they're commissioned as artists. Their work is, Mike just said, that is owned by the government.
Right.
Do they categorize all that? Are there places like web links that people could go to see this stuff?
I think there are. The GSA, the Government Services Administration, actually owns all of this stuff, but it's been sent out now since I was on active duty to. The Center for Military History is one place, the Marine Corps Museum is another place, and those are the only two I'm familiar with. I'm sure the Air Force has a part of this rather vast collection. It used to be kept at Fort McNair in the Tempos. They had two or three big warehouses where this was all cataloged and categorized, and I had a chance to go there a couple times in one of my assignments to pick out art from that vast collection. It's mind-boggling, actually.
I can't imagine. Yeah, just amazing. So you kind of, so basically the idea is to curate for local, more locally.
Well, it's actually local. We have some really great local artists who are participating, but it's not limited to that. We actually have art that's going to be coming in from across the country, and thus, you know, we have we're hoping to kind of. One of the themes here is to really create connections between artists and the, you know, the combat veterans and the community. We think there's a real lack of connection between veterans who are returning or who just have never been recognized really for their work, military families, and the civilian communities. I'm a civilian, never been in the military, you know, I wake up every day when I talk to people like Adam and Ken, and you know, hear some of these stories.
That makes it real.
It makes it real.
We had this conversation before we started taping, like how unfortunate it is, and I say this every time, it's Memorial Day or you know the holidays, we're reminded of this, the ultimate sacrifices. There's no greater sacrifice than, you know, when our military guys go and fight on our behalf or defend our country, and you know when you, and then, so this project that you guys are putting together, when you say it's the ultimate sacrifice, and is always this lack in my life, I know, and I'm sure that there's a lot of people just like me, of the awareness and the paying homage to these things. So these artists that were there, and to bring this is an incredibly important exhibit that you guys are putting together here, because it's
Mike. You got artists that were doing art after combat as well.
That's right. You know, in war and after, Wayne, is the theme here. So it's not just people who are, you know, it's not just art from in war. You know, a lot of it is after the combat and how people are dealing with this. I forgot to mention, you know, we're doing this from the exhibition's from May 17th through June 24th. And it's actually got...
Rocky Neck.
At Rocky Neck Art Colony, yeah. However, we actually have a number of tie-in events that are going on that are, again, designed in many ways to kind of get veterans, get military families out of the house to come to these events and to participate and to really be recognized. And we have a sponsor. We've just signed a corporate sponsor called Wernow Asset Management, or Wealth Management Company in Rockport. They're big givers in terms of supporting the arts and veterans. Adam's worked with the T. Wernow before on some projects, and I think now as well, right?
Yes. Yeah, so we live in a great community. We live in a community that is so supportive of our veterans. Talked about it a little bit earlier about a certain generation, that Vietnam generation, that seemed to have a different experience from what we have today. They came home. There was a conflict between the general populace, whether to support the war or not support the war. And there was a difficulty seeing the divide between supporting the troops and being against the war. Mm. Fortunately for my generation and the generation to follow the Vietnam veterans, is that those Vietnam veterans really stood up and really took charge and said, you know, you can be against the war, but you need to support those that are going over to fight. And our generation is very fortunate to have those Vietnam veterans that have been so supportive. And the climax of the country has changed afterwards. There's so many good groups, great groups doing things like T. Warnu, who's done photographs called You Are Beautiful, of Wounded Warriors. And now this is just another tie-in where you have not only combat artists that were in country that have that war perspective that is so unique, very different from photographs, where the photograph is great, but it has one side where you can, with an artist, you kind of feel their heart a little more and how they really felt and saw that image. And this, the war and after part, the after part, is really the emotions and feeling that these veterans have, and it's a way that they can translate their thoughts and emotions onto a canvas, into writing, and really portray that to a community that, you know, wants to know more, wants to see that, and wants to learn about their experience.
Ken, maybe you can talk a little bit about what's going on with KPAN Forum and Gloucester Stage.
Well, we've got Andy Bastovich, who is a retired colonel, West Point graduate, who taught international relations at Boston University, I think, until he retired. He is a pundit. He writes for the New York Times and the Boston Globe, occasional columns. And he's going to be the ringleader of our forum at the KPAN Stage Company on the 20th, I believe, at about 6 p.m.
That's May 20th.
May 20th.
May 20th, right.
At Gloucester Stage.
At the Gloucester Stage Company. We're not quite sure who is going to constitute the rest of the panel, but it's going to be an open discussion, we hope.
As far, and what's the topic is going to be?
I think it's going to be this issue, maybe the issue of coming home. The Paul Fussell, who was author and a World War II veteran, he wrote War and Modern Memory and a number of other publications. He described one of the things Mike was talking about, the difference between art directly generated on the spot and art generated ex post facto. He said it's the same thing as watching the sun. The immediate part is like watching the sun at high noon, and the memoir, which is what in fact I did, I didn't do any art while I was in service, is like watching the sun at sunset. There's a filter, there's a time that changes your perspective or mellows it, if nothing else. So we've got both combinations here. We've got some art that's done right on the spot or immediately after the incident, and then we've got stuff that's been allowed to percolate and mellow out a bit. So,
Actually, interestingly, to a point that Adam made about writers, you know, we also have a tie-in event going on June 9th, and what's behind that is a woman named Dorothy Nelson, who's part. She's a retired professor, but she's been sponsoring a veteran writers workshop with
the Gloucester Writers Center,
right here, right on East Main Street, and they've published an anthology. I guess she has about 18 vets who have written about their experiences, and they're going to be doing readings at the Rocky Neck Art Colony the Cultural Center on the 9th of June, and there'll be number of these veterans participating, doing readings, and of course, you know, looking to sell their book as well.
So, Mike, is there a way that people can get involved now, or is this just front-loading for the events coming up later in May and June?
Well, we want to get the word out, first off. I think it's, you know, getting more people. One of the things that Rocky Neck wants to do is just connect to more people in the community, and we see this as an underserved need, making these connections. We're, of course, looking for sponsors. We still have a couple of corporate sponsorships open. We also have individual donors that we're looking to, you know, if this is striking a chord, you know, we'd love to have a check in any amount at Rocky Neck Art Colony, and, you know, we can always talk about that later.
Well, what we decided to do was to make this no cost to the veteran artist. Mm-hmm. So we have waived all of the entry fees, and we've waived all of the rest of the transportation fees and shipping fees, for the most part, so that this doesn't cost them anything. Because I think it's not quite criminal, and it's not statutory that it should be against the law to charge artists, veteran artists, to be participants. But we've waived everything we could.
Yeah, and that's actually
is the art for sale, or is it?
Sorry,
the art is it art for sale?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's some of it's for sale, some of it's additions, and some of it will be clearly marked not for sale. But
we love selling art, and our artists love selling it as well.
Yeah. Okay. So it's an art.
Anything owned by the DOD is going to be hard to buy.
Yeah.
But anything by artists could be for sale.
However, we have made arrangements with the Marine Corps Museum as an example. They will send us digital files, high-resolution files that we can have printed and put for sale.
Mm, fantastic. How many artists are there going to be represented?
We're up to about 30, 35 at this point.
Wow.
Yeah, we had
what different mediums are there going to be?
The spectrum is across the board. There's paintings, there's etchings, there's sculpture, there's bronze castings. Let's see, what have I left out? There's assemblage, I think everything. We've got a book, we have a We have a book that is composed of work by not only American artists, but Vietnamese artists from the North and the South.
Wow.
So we're covering, we also have some work by combat veterans who are not in uniform, but who work for the CIA surreptitiously. So it's a pretty broad
spectrum. It's gonna be a great show.
Yeah, 6 weeks this summer, and we're, you know, Wayne, to another point in terms of how people can get involved, I'll let Adam speak to, you know, how we can engage the veterans, but I think we still have some programming that opportunities, like Memorial Day, we're working on finding some additional programming, as well as looking to do something else in Cape Ann later in June, before the close. So, you know, from May 17th through June 24, we want to have, you know, through these co-sponsorships, that everyone seems to be stepping up. You know, we want to have more of those.
Dick.
Adam, just, you know, one last point that, you know, I'd love to have you think about or talk a little bit about how we can get our Cape Ann veterans here. I mean, we're going to try and make sure they have transportation, but, you know, what's the best way to get their attention? And
is that a painting? That's a painting?
That's a painting.
Jesus Christ. That's incredible.
That's done by Captain C.J. Bauman, and that's actually root clearing, it's called, and it's actually a oil painting that is
that's incredible.
You know, from
that's
Afghanistan,
yeah.
When this guy was looking for IEDs.
Yes.
So as far as getting our local veterans to these events, we're looking at May. We're leading up to Memorial Day. This is a time where, you know, we're getting ready to honor those that have been killed while in service and those that were killed in action. So this is a time where, you know, we're preparing for that. There's coverage through different organizations. There's a lot of veterans that are looking for guidance on Memorial Day ceremonies and the like going around. So this is a time that we can reach out to them through that preparation for Memorial Day to kind of lead up into this exhibition as well, and as well as let the various groups and organizations, again, as I keep harping on, there's so many groups and organizations doing things for veterans. We have a large network of not only veterans but community supporters that can help us really get this information out there.
Adam, who does the your press releases for your organization?
As far as hubs,
like if you have like say you're having an event, who sends out the press releases to like the Gloucester Times? Or?
So that would be through our office, Cape Ann Veteran Services.
Is there okay?
And then Rocky
is there a person? Is there contact?
You contact me.
Okay, so you're the guy.
I'm the guy.
All right, there's a CapeAnnCommunity.com is a auxiliary blog for Good Morning Gloucester, and all nonprofits in town, just about all of them use it.
Okay.
You have access. You can post directly to there. When you post to there, all I have to do is hit one button, reblog button, and it goes to the main page of Good Morning Gloucester. So I'll give you access to be able to post directly. Because obviously, when this is leading up, there's a bunch of different events that are involved here.
Mm-hmm.
You should really, you know, put together a post so that way there you can let, we have a huge readership. You know,
that'd be great.
Yeah,
that's excellent.
That's
that.
Great.
Thanks.
And that's for all nonprofits. So the Rocky Neck Art Association could be on there as well.
Yeah. They've already given them access.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah. That's fantastic. Let's read through. So the exhibit events, May 20th from 3 to 6, exhibit opening at the Cultural Center at Rocky Neck. May 20th, 6:30 p.m., presentation and discussion with Andrew Bakovich.
Basevich.
Mm-hmm. Veteran, noted author, international relations, and military historian, and Gold Star father at the Gloucester Stage Company. May 28th. To be determined the time, an event connected with Memorial Day. June 9th from 3 to 5 p.m., reading and panel discussion by combat veteran writers at the Cultural Center, and to be announced veteran-oriented events on Cape Ann.
And then the gallery or the exhibit is May and June.
May 17th to June 24th.
Yep, at the Rocky Neck Art Gallery. Yeah.
So when you guys...
Standard hours, free admission.
Free admission. Yeah. Come and bring your family.
So whenever you guys send press releases, they'll get put on the blog. So
excellent, appreciate it, John.
Anything you guys want to add in closing?
I want to say I had an encounter when I was in school, and nobody knew I was a veteran because there had been preceding me a guy who was pretty badly shaken up with PTSD, and so I decided that I was going to tell everybody I was a management consultant. And finally, in the middle of my fourth year, I did an exhibition that used some military iconography in it, and the word got out that I, in fact, had been in Vietnam. And a woman came up to me and said, "I'd like to take you to lunch." And I said, "Why on earth would a lovely young lady like you want to take an old geezer like me to lunch?" And she said, "I have never in my life sat down and talked to a veteran."
Mm.
And I said, "Let's go." And so we got sandwiches and went out and sat in the park. And we had about an hour conversation. She wanted to know all about what my experiences were. And I was very touched by that.
Mm.
What I see now is nobody wants to get engaged. They want to say, "Thank you for your service." And as well-meaning as that is, I think the next step needs to be taken if you want to engage. Just a simple question like, "Where did you serve?" And how was the food? That kind of stuff.
Some guys want to. What do you think the ratio of guys on women and men that served want to talk about it as opposed to like just don't want to? Like,
well, I think they'll tell you if they don't want to talk about it, if they don't want to get triggered. But it's so nice. I talked to these old guys from World War II who run around with their caps on, and I say, "Where were you? Where did you serve? How long were you gone?" Stuff like that, just to get them talking, because I think most of them never have an opportunity unless they go to the VFW or join one of their fraternal groups.
One of our friends of the blog, Ron Gilson, he tells some great stories. He was very proud. I don't think he saw any action, but he's so proud of being a Marine that he was a Marine.
Well, I mean, it's those connections. I mean, it is just that conversation, because I had a coworker, Bill Bates, who served in Vietnam in the Marines, and we were meeting with a gentleman from the DOD, retired, who was also in the Marines, and Bill and this guy got talking. And they were both in Vietnam, and they're like, "Well, where did you serve?" All this other stuff. And come to find out, they were literally 100 feet from one another on this same battle. Not in the same country or anything like that, but in this major battle, all this other stuff, they could describe things. They were literally 100 feet from one another in battle.
Wow.
So
amazing.
Just making those connections and just being willing to speak and,
this
and,
is gonna be
and
very,
have a conversation.
This is going to be a very powerful exhibit. It's just going to, I don't have to say that everybody should go see this. Everybody should go see this. Thank you guys for coming in. Please send me this in digital form, so I don't have to transcribe it.
And, we won't make you do that.
Don't put it in a PDF. Okay. Just highlight, because a PDF, all your links here,
mm-hmm.
don't work in a PDF.
Okay.
For the blog, it's just highlight and copy paste it in an email, and I'll be able to. Put it over, and I'll get your contact, your email address, so I can send you an invitation to be able to post directly.
Great, thanks, John.
All right, thank you guys for coming in.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate everyone coming to talk today.